Because if I can offer us one piece of advice on this show, I think we should rush to judgment about every story relating to Apple drama.
I think that's bullshit.
Am I doing this right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, whatever way you did it wrong.
Well, that's nothing new there.
Yeah.
Huge.
A huge story in the Apple develop world.
Lex, were you talking? Are you talking about this Dash thing? Is that what you're talking about?
I was. I don't even think we have to get into it too deep, but it seems clear that everyone was like, oh, Apple, you're the big bad wolf. This guy has to go to the press. And then Apple goes to the press back and, you know, goes to the... Listen, we have good friends who work at all of the publications that Apple gave stories to, The Loop and iMore, but not publications that are necessarily super critical of Apple all that often. Just going to throw that out there. And they were like, okay, Apple told us what happened. And what they didn't do, as far as I can tell, is reach Dash. Now, Rene Ritchie did say on Twitter to the Dash guy, I emailed you, but apparently the Dash guy didn't see that email.
But I think doesn't see a lot of emails.
That's also possible.
But, well, have you seen then the follow-up that the developer posted, including... His phone call with Apple.
Right. And people are interpreting the phone call in a couple different ways. But basically, the thing that I am criticizing is, it was like, this developer's mad. We'll take his side. And then Apple said that it's the developer's fault. Yay, Apple. And then the guy's like, well, what about this? And people are like,
let's go back.
We could just be patient.
This is why I've said absolutely nothing about this to date.
Well, this is what I mean. So what you're suggesting is maybe a careful investigative look at this before we make a draw a conclusion.
There's a fair amount of
still more coming out, because even as we we're recording this today, I saw a tweet maybe an hour ago that was, so I guess the sort of what's come up is that perhaps this guy
at the beginning. Have you used this Dash?
No, it's really aimed at developers.
Okay,
is my understanding.
Because
I've used it. I have installed. It's a good app.
And what does it do? Correctly. What does it do?
It's a repository of I'm gonna get there. It's docs. It's docs for development languages. So you can it's the reference book for different development languages. That's what it is.
Okay. All right.
So I understand, and it sounds like for developers, it's a very useful application. I guess Apple, froze this guy's account seemingly without provocation, because they had been doing some sort of, anti-fraud investigations trying to find sort of paid reviews. And they concluded that this developer had engaged in the process of essentially paying for reviews of their application. And
developer is using the old, I gave an account to my cousin and was paying for it on the same credit card excuse. We've all done that. everybody's got that cousin who's doing fraudulent reviews in the app store.
And I've seen reasonable arguments to that effect, because this guy is based in, I believe, Romania. And people pointing out, well, not everybody in other countries has credit cards, so oftentimes this is something that gets done.
A credit card for the U.S. store, because they think you had to have...
Well, this is for the... I don't know how it works in terms of...
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I don't know that either.
But that said, just credit cards are less common overseas often. So this is not... That's not totally implausible, but it does start to get sticky, because, those accounts then became linked, essentially, although this guy claims he had no knowledge they were linked. Someone, I think it was Ben Thompson, tweeted that that at some point one of those apps on the other account had actually been under this guy's name, and, so I don't know. There's a lot of confusion there. I feel like it would be a bad move to make these strenuous arguments if, including posting the phone call, if you, knew
if
that
you
were guilty.
Keep selling your app.
Well, if you knew that you had done something, because apparently they gave him a chance to say, this is, this is the situation. This is the truth of the situation. There was an account linked to me and it was, had fraud associated with it. And if they, reportedly, if he had done that, they would have basically reinstated him. But then, it turns into he said, she said, right? It turns into, this is what Apple is maintaining is the case. This is what the developer is maintaining the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
The truth is,
what do we do about it?
We burn it all down, John. We burn it all down.
My advice is we publish think pieces about it before we have all the information.
Those are hot takes, Lex. The hottest of takes.
It's a good thing we didn't record, you know, like in the middle of this.
Takes so hot you burn yourself on them.
Yeah. Now, actually, I have a surprise for you.
I probably would have just avoided talking about it.
I have the Dash developer here with me.
No.
But I
my
do lawyer, have Apple PR.
My lawyers have told me this is inadvisable.
Yeah.
I have my lawyers here with me.
You should have your. You should always. Oh, you
I
guys
always
don't?
Have my like lawyers always? On this show. They are. They have a finger
sitting behind you.
Finger hovering
it
over.
Seems
the
like Lex often does.
Mine have the fingers hovering over the mute button just constantly. They're just right there.
When Lex starts to talk about politics, he just feels a hand on his shoulder.
That's true. That's true. Listen, I have many thoughts about politics, just in terms of politics as a thing.
I was going to say that they're
just
they're
very vague thoughts about the.
They're
the
standing there with a garrote around his neck, just waiting.
Yeah. So other than that, we have nothing to talk about.
Well, good show today, guys.
Are we getting new Macs ever?
Should we move to the Kremlinology portion of the show?
Yeah.
So Apple moved its investor call. Which was a little, it's not unusual. It's not unprecedented. As several places pointed out earlier this year, they moved it because of Bill Campbell's memorial service. And so they pushed it from, it is now on the 25th, I think. It had been on the 27th, which itself was a little weird because that's a Thursday and they almost never do it on Thursdays.
Right.
And so now everybody's theorizing.
Now and Microsoft is having an event on the 27th, right?
Which could be another.
If I remember correctly.
Another reason.
Yeah, so there's that, but then the speculation is that it would be the. So what day would it be if the 27th is a Thursday?
This is the highest level of analysis we
this
can
is
do.
Kremlinology. Yeah, this is Kremlinology.
right.
Everyone, all right. Open your calendars. I mean, if you're here with us now.
So we think they might have an event on this 27th.
No,
boy, that seems having an event on Thursday is weird too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Would they want to do
maybe
it
the 26th.
Before? Or after the investor call. I'm never sure what the politics of that are.
They've done it both ways. I think they should
do it during the investor call.
My gut is announce stuff and then do the investor call. Because otherwise the investors are going to say, hey, what are you going to announce?
It's going to be hilarious if they do it. I want them to do it during the investor call just because they're always like, we're not going to talk about new products or whatever. And they're like, actually, today we are going to talk about new products. We have a brand new MacBook.
Right. As long as they don't talk about Earth stuff.
And then they
that one's played out. We did that.
And then
last
they would just—they would just describe them. They would just describe the new devices.
I wish you
phone.
Could see it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, trust me.
Johnny Ives is here to describe in loving
trust me,
terms.
It's gorgeous.
We our Johnny Ive impressions haven't gotten any better since the last 2 weeks.
That was not Johnny Ive I was doing, just to be clear.
I'm not convinced.
Because that would be a very, very bad Johnny Ive.
So I don't know. Yeah.
My Johnny Ive is tremendous. Believe me. That's my Johnny Ive.
I don't want to talk about politics stuff.
Sounds just like it. I don't want to talk about Earth politics stuff.
Well, I mean, okay, so either way, we're talking about sometime in probably the next 2 weeks or so. If there's going to be
And I just got a new MacBook Pro, so it's any day now is when I would expect.
Well, of course, right. Well, I'm glad you took that bullet instead of me.
Oh, breaking news. Apple has just handed me a new MacBook.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
It's very chic.
Turns out that wasn't your lawyer.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I actually went into the Apple store the other day to look at the 12-inch MacBooks because I hadn't really spent any time with them, and I've once again concluded I really don't like the keyboard on those.
I think it's the kind of thing you would get used to in a couple days, which I say largely because
have you tried one?
No,
it's very low travel. Yeah. It feels weird. I'd like a little.
I would be fine with it. I've tried it. I would adapt.
You're a monster. That's what we're.
Like you know what board. I am impressed by. I don't know if you guys remember. This is a while ago. This was years ago. But I got a new MacBook Pro a long time ago. And for reasons that I think I got one that was just too weak for my needs. And I returned it and got a different one instead. But for like 2 weeks, I had the Force Touch trackpad.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Now. And then I returned it. now this one that I just got has the Force Touch trackpad again, and it's actually very cool. I think even better than.
So you admit you were wrong.
No, I liked. I always liked the Force, Touch trackpad.
He would never do that.
I just didn't like the processor on that old MacBook Pro.
Oh, but okay. Really? But, oh, I thought okay.
Yeah. No, I was happy with it. I had no problem with the trackpad. That was the thing I missed the most.
Okay. All right.
It was like, yeah, it couldn't keep up with me. I was too fast for it. But I, with this one, since I keep it connected sometimes to a big Dell monitor, so I got the Magic Trackpad, or I think it's the Magic Trackpad 2. I don't know what the hell they call it. But this, basically, it's the version of the Magic Trackpad that's white and that also does Force Touch. Yeah. And it's also very impressive.
Yeah,
the whole thing's impressive.
I was trying that a little bit at the store, too, because I still have one of the original versions. And it seemed all right. I feel like it would take a little getting used to, but it seemed okay.
It took minutes, and I had forgotten all about
those
it.
Those are long minutes, Lex.
They are. But, you know, you connect it via Lightning, which I forgot. So, by the way, perfect reason to get a Magic Trackpad, you get another Lightning cable. Mm-hmm. But you connect it via Lightning for it to sync, and you don't have to pair it. And I think it's one of those, like the mouse, well, that I know everybody knows charges with the Lightning cable, but you plug this in for like 2 minutes, and it's got a 50-month charge. I think that's exactly right. You can quote me on that.
I am getting a little tired of changing the batteries on my wireless keyboard and wireless trackpad. It seems to happen a lot.
I until I got this Magic Trackpad, I had been using Logitech. I still use a Logitech Solar keyboard, but I'd be using Logitech's rechargeable trackpad, and now I'm using Apple's because, you know.
I was going to say on the...
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you're in the pocket of...
big yeah. Logitech.
Big anti-dash.
I was going to mention, because I think I talked about this a week or two ago, about my dilemma of what laptop to take with me when I travel later this year. And I did a test run editing a podcast on my MacBook Air, and what I realized doing that, so I'm used to doing it on my iMac, and I thought, oh man, you know, the MacBook Air will be a lot more sluggish. And what I forgot was that MacBook Air is 3 years newer than my iMac. And so it was actually way faster in some things. I was like, oh, okay, this probably isn't going to be an issue after all. It really just comes down to it's a little less screen space, obviously, that I'm used to working with, but it's fine. So I guess the Air it is. The best laptop is the one you have with you.
As opposed to nothing. I've tried writing on nothing before. It's not for me.
Well, I briefly looked into the so I know Jason Snell has used this a few times. There's an app called Ferrite for the iPad, which is a multi-track editor. It's actually pretty nice. I installed it just to play around with it a little bit. I was like, I'm surprised at how good this is, and it has features that GarageBand does not, which is actually pretty cool. It has ripple delete and strip silence, which are both, you have to go up to like Logic to get those.
You can't say that on a podcast.
I think I once saw a wrestling match between ripple delete and strip silence.
Yeah. Strip silence guy has got one of those moves where he just draws his finger across his throat. Doesn't say anything.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure you guys were all really interested in my laptop epiphanies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You want to hear mine? I don't have
Yeah, any. John, aren't you still using computers from like 1987?
2012 is my main machine, and then I have my iMac is from 2007. I kind of want to get it to the 10-year mark, though.
No, but it's literally George W. Bush was president when you got that iMac. I want to make sure everyone understands. That's right. It's an old iMac.
John, I think mm-hmm. you're going to be really pleasantly surprised when you move from that analog Mac to a digital Mac. I think that's really going to blow you away. No more of that rotary wheel that you have to keep spinning to dial things.
Now they have built-in monitors.
I hear really good things about 32-bit. So,
USB? USB, huge game changer.
Also, USB you're going to like color. They have
USB
color screens.
USB 2 would be nice. Oh. No, so I'm in that zone again, though, where I need to decide between, do I just get like a powerful laptop?
Or do you just give up entirely?
Or give up entirely. That's one of the options. Just, you know, crawl right into my grave. And await the
sweet embrace of death. Yeah,
or do I get super light laptop and then a decently powered desktop?
I think the answer is always getting more Macs. That's always better, right?
You think so? Great. I think I'd rather do that.
What I've kind of concluded here is I got this MacBook Pro. And for the nerds out there, of which I think there are some, here's what it is. I didn't even pick it out. They picked it out for me. It is a 2.5 gigahertz Intel Core i7 with 16 gigabytes of RAM. It goes from 0 to 60 in 4.2 seconds.
Nice.
And
leather seats.
I'm just using it as my main machine. It's everywhere. So I've got this Dell monitor.
You got the leather keys?
Leather keys. All leather.
Yeah.
Rich Corinthian leather keys?
Mm-hmm. No CD player, though, in this one. I just went strictly AM, FM.
Smart. But... You got an aux jack, though, right?
Yes. I'm connecting it to a monitor when I'm using it. And then when
it's,
I want to
it's way better than using it with no monitor.
Well, it's got its own monitor built in.
What? The hell
Not
you
like
say?
Not like John's old iMac.
Look at this guy.
It's working. And I think I told you this last time. I don't remember if I did. But I have not reinstalled from backup. I am... I started anew, mm-hmm. and like today, or actually yesterday was the first day I realized, hey, I still haven't installed BB Edit. So that's on my list of things to do today. I have to find my BB license key, but I've been just installing things as I need them. And then I'm going to do one big document move over, but I was like, I'm not just going to copy everything over from another Mac and make it a clone. I'm just going to start fresh. And I've been really enjoying that experience. So recommended.
Yeah. I mean, I had done that with the machine like last year, I think, because I was trying to fix a whole bunch of problems with it. And I finally just decided, no, I'm going to copy all the documents off, start all over, and just like, just copy the documents back. And things suddenly started working again that hadn't been working for months and months.
I know you've all been wondering, now that I'm running Sierra, I'm on new Mac, et cetera, does my iMessage work? The answer is yes. So,
Max, we're so glad to hear this. That's amazing.
Now, actually, you know, iMessage is great for text communication. Podcasts, of course, good for audio communication. I want to use audio right now to paint you guys a little word picture. I can tell you a little story. Okay. This morning, I had been growing a beard for days. It was a pretty rich stubble beard at this point. And my wife looked at me and she said, "You ugly." No, she said, "It's time for that to go." And I was like, "No, you're right." And I was like, man, I could trim this beard first and then shave. And I'm like, you know what? This Harry's razor has 5 blades on it. I'm sure it can handle this thickness of stubble. And guess what? It did. Probably because there's the soft flex hinge for a more comfortable glide. Probably because I used Harry's shave gel, and I'm a big fan of that. It's a lubricating strip. The handle, as you recall, is textured, so it's not going to slip out of my hand because there was a lot of wetness going on while I was shaving this thing off. But it was really, I was marveling.
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Thank you. I was marveling at how easily the shave happened. And that's true. I was thinking to myself, hey, I don't know the next time I'm reading Harry's ad, but I'm going to mention how nicely it's handling this beard. And it turns out it's today. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel free when you sign up for a shave plan. You just pay shipping. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show, so you have to like it. Enter code REBOUND at checkout to get a post-shave bomb added to your order for free. I recommend you don't forget that. Put in the promo code REBOUND, one, because then, you know, they know that we're awesome. But two, the post-shave bomb is great. It's my main go-to shave bomb. Here's what you do. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code REBOUND at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave bomb. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, promo code REBOUND. Thanks, Harry's. And my face and my wife's face, thank you, too.
I worry a little bit every time you say shave bomb. I feel like we're going to get shut down. yeah. Sounds risky, is my point.
You can't say shave bomb.
It is the best shave bomb. Yes. I love bombs.
I'm not doing it. I'm not.
This is the last episode of The Rebound, everybody.
There's a place I could go to, and I'm just not going to go.
Great. Let's move on.
Locker room talk about shave bomb.
Oh, you went there anyways.
I just wanted to make sure people knew where I was thinking, but I'm not doing the accent.
I never want to know what you're thinking. Let me just put that out there.
No.
J-Bob.
Anything else? It feels kind of like a quiet week.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah. Or calm before the calm. I don't know. There's not a ton going on.
And still, we do not have, it is, what is it? Today's the 11th as we record this, and you still cannot order AirPods.
Nope. Well, this is not, it's late October. Late October.
I
right?
know, it's late October.
We're not even mid-October. Or are we? I don't know. I never know
coming,
how that goes.
Coming in late October. So I get, all right. You know, I would like to pre-order mine, is what I'm saying.
Should we?
Because that's the only thing I'm getting out of that whole keynote.
It's all about you, John. So, it's all about you.
Some of it should be about me.
One thing should be about you. Just one.
Do you think when they unveil them... This is the kind of thing that makes John hate me. But when they unveil them, are they going to say, it's Podtober? Like, you think that's what they're going to say?
It's Octopodtober.
I don't hate you.
I do, but it's really not related to that.
I mean, he does, just not for that.
Podtoberfest.
The chunt for Pod October.
Should we talk about the elephant in the room?
Let's do it.
Exploding recalled elephant.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How about that?
Boy, I will say people are saying, boy, if this were Apple, you'd never hear the end of it. I feel like we're not hearing the end of it now. Like, I think it is a pretty big story.
Well, I think it would be worse if it were Apple.
I agree.
Yes.
And I think it's one of those things that I feel like I'm careful not to make too much fun of Samsung for, because I honestly feel like this could happen.
I do not have that problem.
Well, here's the thing. Batteries are inherently a volatile issue. Yes. And we've definitely seen occurrences in the past of iPhones catching on fire. Not to this extent, obviously. And clearly there was a defect in their manufacturing process. But that said, you want to be careful of not, milking too much out of this for the whole, people who use glass smartphones shouldn't throw those smartphones. I don't know. I feel like, it's unfortunate. I don't think this is going to sink Samsung, even though this is a big deal for this line.
It's bad. It's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, they're just going to rebrand it. They'll come back.
Yeah, I mean, this quarter is not going to be good. I mean, people are talking about whether or not they should just, ditch the Note brand.
I mean, I think they're going to have to.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
Literally, what else could they say? Welcome to the new Note.
It doesn't
explode. The one that doesn't blow up in your freaking hands.
Significantly less likely to blow up.
Major feature.
Honestly, how happy are they? How much high-fiving is there at Samsung right now that they don't have Amazon's branding? Because if that thing were called the fire, come on now.
Samsung explosion.
Thankfully, Amazon already ruined that in another way.
Yeah.
This quarter certainly is going to be tough. And I imagine this year as a whole, because, that's sort of their flagship phone, right? It's hard for that. It's hard to go back to the drawing board and come up with something else in the next, 6 months or whatever. Especially if you want to take the time to make sure it doesn't explode, which I feel like I would recommend.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when... Boy. You start shipping people replacements and they're still...
Yeah, that's bad news.
That's really bad. It seems like they all around, they rushed everything, because there was that article saying that they rushed the Note to production because they were thinking that the iPhone 7 was going to be a dud, and so that they wanted to capitalize on all this. And then, this possibly came out of that rush, and then they rushed the replacements out and they were still exploding, and just take a month.
Apple could do, because Apple can't be too on the nose about this, try our phone, it doesn't blow up, but they could maybe just start rerunning those old Pentium parody ads with the people in the suits. Maybe that would be...
Sure.
You guys know what
I'm
talking about.
That'd be a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where there's tons of Schadenfreude at Apple, but they can't say anything. You can't say anything.
Right.
You just have to let that sit there and happen.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's the smart move. That's the smart move. And just welcome in all those potential new customers with open arms.
Now, you're saying it's, they're handling it. I think there are congressional hearings happening now. The thing where they knew that replacement phones were also blowing up and didn't say anything for several days.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's
going to
be a problem.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. This seems like a total screw up on their part. And they're a huge company, though. They're not going to... This isn't going to sink them. It sucks for this quarter. It's probably going to, give their stock price a huge hit. But, people will have, if not forgotten about it, it will be out of the, public consciousness probably within... By the time they launch, the second model from now, the next one, they're going to have a hard time with. But the one after that, if as long as the next one doesn't explode, the one after that will probably be fine again.
It seems like maybe who this helps the most is Google's Pixel.
Yeah,
phone.
Yeah.
Because
good
since
timing
that's
for them.
Arriving, that's arriving just as this is happening. They might actually sell. Because they traditionally they've only sold about a million of the Nexuses a month, I think it was. They've never really had huge sales.
Man, but when they find that Android firmware bit that's if not Pixel, then explode, then that's going to be really damning.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
The literal smoking gun.
That would be... Oh, that would That'd be something.
I mean, because all those people are going to have to stop using their Note 7s, and they're probably not going to be without phones. So I agree.
They huge opportunity. Something. Although I don't think, can you get? I mean, they're not even out yet, right? They're pre-ordering.
Right.
At this point. Now
Now that would be something, right? Send proof of send your old explodey, not safe note to Apple, and you can get $100 off a purchase of an iPhone 7. I would do that.
Yeah.
That's the move Apple should make.
Except they don't need to. That's the thing.
No, that they're not going to sell.
They're not
going
to do
7s.
That because they don't. I mean, Apple doesn't need to.
They don't need all those customers.
They don't even want them.
Maybe they should, actually. Maybe they should. No, I was just going to say, I mean, like, there's a lot of questions about whether or not the sales of the 7 are going to be flat from the 6S or what. So,
if more people are looking at my photos, the 7 Plus would be flying off the shelves. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
I think they from the 6S.
So you're
saying they'll be up
from
the 6S, but I think they will not reach the heights of the 6.
Right.
Show that you looked at Lex's photos and you get $100 off the.
Yes. By the way, I did get an email from Phil Schiller asking if they could use my photos in all the shot on iPhone 7 billboards.
Is that right?
No.
It's going to be a giant photo
waiting,
of Lex's kids.
Clearly, they're not. Yeah. Just shot on iPhone 7. My kids smiling at the bus stop. Oh, man. Now, gentlemen, really quick, if I may. I think you know this. Not all ingredients are created equal, right? I don't know if you've ever read Animal Farm, but that might be some advice. Mm-hmm. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you. So it's important to know where your food comes from. I have eaten some delicious meals sent to me by Blue Apron. And they don't send you the food prepped. They send you the food ready for you to make. And you don't have to measure out your soy sauce. You don't have to figure out the exact quantity of garlic powder. You don't have to, buy the chicken. It's all there in the box. You have a pre-portion, it's ready to go, and you just follow the instructions and cook it. And I am not that smart, and I have cooked some delicious meals. They have partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States, so it's really good food. The beef is raised humanely, the seafood is sourced sustainably, the chickens are free-range, the pork is raised naturally, much like my children. And they use regenerative farming practices. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental United States and 99.5% of food deserts. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for recipe, they are reducing food waste. Cooking together makes your family happier. I cooked with the whole family. We had a really nice time. It was enjoyable. It's less than $10 a meal to get seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Some of the meals available in October include crispy chicken Milanese with warm Brussels sprouts, celery and potato salad, Thai green curry chicken and squash with yu choy, jasmine rice and cashews, roasted pork steamed buns with black garlic mayonnaise and spicy cabbage slaw, and seared salmon and fall vegetable hash with apple brown butter dressing. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/rebound. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/rebound. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Now you're cooking with gas and fresh ingredients.
If you actually have gas.
And fresh ingredients.
Does not include gas.
Does not include gas.
It's BYOG.
Do you guys have gas ranges?
Yeah, I do.
I do. Yeah.
Just do you? Yeah, good.
We're building it.
We had electric when we moved in, and then we got one of those glass top things which broke.
The convection conducted.
I don't know. Glass top. Whatever.
Glass top.
Sure. Something's supposed to be good for you.
And you went to gas,
and it cracked on the edges. And we put like a pan down on it, and then we finally just we ditched all that, and we got gas range. And man, God, I love a gas range.
I love a gas range too. Yeah. My girlfriend has an electric stove and oven range, whatever. It's terrible. It's really bad.
Yeah. I need an Internet of Things gas range, I think is what I need.
No, you don't. Because it would totally get hacked. And then you're like, does it smell like gas in here? And then you
as
open
I'm driving home.
And you smell like gas in here. And then you turn on your Galaxy Note 7 and it's just all over. It's all over.
Or you're trying to cook it, medium rare, but it comes out rare because somebody's messing with it. That'd be a real.
So good.
No? We are building it. Like, we're doing a little outdoor grill area in the back. And it's going to be my first ever truly natural gas grill, because I've always done propane tanks, but there was a gas hookup right there, so I was convinced to do it. I've always been afraid that those are going to make your house blow up. So if my house blows up, it's because of the grill.
You've always been afraid that that's going to make the house blow up.
I've always been afraid of gas grills, you know, where the grill connects to the gas line. Like, I don't know, somehow the fire sucks down the grill and goes into your house and then your house blows up.
I think
they were like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, so. I was like, but then I talked to somebody and they said no.
Yeah. I'm not a scientist, to be clear. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we this know. Is not Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No. And do you both have thermostats? Like thermostat, the internety things?
I have three of them, actually.
I only have a single thermostat that came with my apartment.
Your house is fresh out of the future.
It's really not.
Is the movie theater climate controlled separately, or?
The basement has two thermostats of its own, but they really just leech off the other units that are doing the rest of the house.
So, if I lived in your house, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. The thermostats in the basement are much like my
podcast.
I bought Philips Hue came out with a motion sensor to sort of like wire into your smart lights. And I bought one of those and I've been playing around with it. I had some mixed feelings about it. The hardware for it is very nice. The software for it is kind of subpar, which is generally my feeling with a lot of the Hue stuff. The software is not great, at least with the lights. They wire into HomeKit, so you can use HomeKit. This one, right. The motion sensor does not apparently support HomeKit currently. So yeah, no dice with that.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have nothing that works in HomeKit, which seems like a missed opportunity. I don't know if it's my fault or if it's probably a little bit your fault.
Even the Nest doesn't work with HomeKit, right?
No, because like it's googly.
Yeah, so it's nothing HomeKit either.
Okay.
HomeKitty. That's
yeah. So I've got this icon. I've got nothing to do with it.
You're more of a home doggy than a HomeKitty.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was beneath you. You could have gone more complicated with that.
I did not. And now we'll move on. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the problems with smart home stuff right now is that it's still incredibly fragmented. And there is no... Everybody's got their own standard. Some stuff can interoperate because there are some services that have like implemented both and kind of work as bridges. But if you want just sort of like one way to do everything, like I like that... The thing I like the best about the Hue lights is that they are fairly open as far as their API goes. So you can use them with Alexa and you can use them with... HomeKit, and that's fine. The problem is they have slightly different like commands and syntax, which is a little annoying. But you know, at least the API is open enough that third parties can develop for them. And then you end up with some that are just locked to one particular system. Like I have a Belkin switch, and that works. I can use that with like IFTTT, but I can use it with the Echo, but I can't use it with HomeKit. So there you go.
Everything's messed up.
It's, you know, teething.
It doesn't, I mean, it just seems like nothing. Like that nothing whole thing, works. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it for years, and it still has not gotten to the point where it's, like, consistently usable.
It's gotten better. I've been pretty happy with the setup I have in my house. It's just, you know, it's...
You still don't have that klaxon, though.
No, I'm working on it. I almost had it with the Sonos. So
that seems like that should be like right out of the gate.
Well, so here's the thing. When I got the Sonos, I do have a system that integrates with that. But for whatever reason, it's incredibly slow about like prompting the stuff on the Sonos. So like I can get the lights to flash and then like 30 seconds later, the klaxon goes off. So that's what happens when you have bridges. That's another Sonos complaint for you guys. Why wouldn't it let me play my Red Alert sound more quickly?
Yeah. Sonos actually put out an announcement during the recording of this podcast.
I saw that. It was kind of meh.
Oh. A snoozer.
It was kind of meh.
Hmm. They added,
so
they
check
added
Sonos
a color
to see their new snoozer. Boring. It's boring.
All right, I will.
I'm still waiting to get invited to the
Don't
beta that integrates with the Echo, but it's the thing that worries me is it's a private beta, so that I wouldn't be able to like write about it or talk about it with you guys, apparently. So that would kind of
suck.
So
maybe you're already in it, and you just can't say so.
I'm blinking twice.
Actually,
to indicate
I guess you
can
do it like you can do the canary thing, right? You can say that you're actively not involved. You just can't say that once you are.
Yeah, I'm still not in the beta.
Yeah.
Consider that your latest update.
Where do you sign up for the beta?
If you're in the public beta, like stream for Sonos, which you can sign up for on the website or through the app, I think.
I'm in that, yeah.
Then they, at some points, like, you have to essentially agree to an NDA before you can even, like, see what private betas are available.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So, yeah, Sonos people do that.
Yeah, or just, you know, invite me as a as who I am. You know, accept me warts and all.
No.
That was worth a shot.
Well, this has been great.
Well,
we've really covered everything, I think.
I think we've exhausted the topic of technology. Just, like,
there must be something else.
Yeah, there is.
What do you got?
There is. It's that time of the show when John Moltz recommends an app. It's time for app picks. Do you want to do the jingle, Dan? The app picks jingle?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's app picking time.
Oh, my God. Dear God, help me.
The fall is the best time to go app picking. Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm, terrible. I apologize for what Dan just said.
What do you guys use to write? Do you mean with writing on the on iOS, on the old
me
iOS?
Me use crude instruments, chisel, stone tablet.
For a long time, I was a phraseology guy, but it doesn't support multitasking on iPad Pros, so I don't anymore. I do most of my writing on the iPad in either Notes or Pages.
Wow.
Huh. Shit.
What do you guys use?
Depends what I'm doing. If I'm writing like for work stuff, I've been using OneWriter because it has Markdown and Preview, like, you know, Markdown Preview and all that stuff. It has some quirks I don't love, but I really haven't found anything better for like writing stuff in Markdown. And I really haven't also found anything that's great at like being like a blog client on any of these platforms. Like, and I still do, you know, when I post to Six Colors and stuff on my Mac, I use Mars Edit, but there's really no good equivalent to that. I don't know. I'm use that, but I download a bunch of them and I keep trying them and seeing if I'll find one that I really like, and I just haven't come across one yet. For fiction stuff, I'm of course a big fan of Scrivener, and I use that on my iOS device too now. Thanks God, there's a Scrivener for iOS. Yay! Makes me very
happy. How is the Scrivener for iOS?
It's pretty good. I really like it. It brings over a lot of the features that make sense. Obviously, it doesn't do some of the stuff that's a lot harder to do on the iOS. For example, like one of the great strengths of the Mac version is that it can output into a bunch of different formats, including like with a little bit of help, the Kindle ebook format, EPUB, all that stuff. It's somewhat more limited on iOS. But you know, you can, it syncs now. So like you can always just go back to the Mac app and do that there. And that's not something I generally need to do when I'm on iOS. But as far as the writing stuff goes, I'm a fan. I really like it. I think they did it took a long time to get out, but I think, you know, they did it right. So I'm wholeheartedly recommended if you are a Scrivener user. If you're just sort of going in for the first time and like, that's how you want to jump in, it's good. But I think, you know, Scrivener has a little bit of a learning curve. It may not be the kind of like the way you want to start out, although it is a little bit simpler than the Mac platform. So maybe it would be easier to sort of jump in there. So I don't know, but do you ask because you're looking for one or because you have one to recommend?
No, I mostly use Ulysses. Okay, it took me a long time. I used to just use BB Edit. I used to just do all my writing in BB Edit. Except for a few things that I was dinking around with in Scrivener that really never amounted to anything. But that's a great tool for organizing stuff, for organizing larger things. And to me, Ulysses sort of seems to cut the baby in half to a certain degree, because you can create folders and do different things. And the thing that was hard for me was going from a very file-based, my system of using Dropbox and files just dumped into a big folder, to something that was a little bit more organized in Ulysses into different sort of categories and different things kinds of things that I write. So that hurdle took me a while. I always wanted to get into Ulysses, and it just took me it seriously took me like a year and a half or 2 years before it really worked. And finally now I'm there. So it's nice. And it's, you know, now that I have everything in iCloud, it actually seems to sync fairly well back and forth between devices. So if I want to edit something you know, I'm working on something on my laptop, and then I go someplace with my iPad, it's not a problem. Or I'm out, like, with my phone, and I suddenly think of something, and I want to get it into that particular document, it's not a problem. So
yeah, and like Lex, I end up using Notes for a lot of casual stuff, that it's not like a...
Yeah.
I'm not writing a piece in Notes generally, but, like, I do use it for all of my note-taking now, pretty much. They did a nice job. The subsequent updates to that app have been really solid, and... The fact that it's syncing
took
works
a while.
Really well. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna argue that it took a while, but I think they've gotten to a point with it right now where it's pretty good. I have not tried. Have you either of you guys used any of the collaboration features for Notes that they added?
No. I used it once, and it's actually really good. I used it when we were taking notes in a meeting, and I didn't even the meeting's already started. I see a colleague is on his iPad, I was on mine, and I just shared it with him, and he looks at it, and then instead of both of us taking notes, we took notes in one shared doc, and then we could also pass notes back and forth without anybody knowing. It's actually very cool. I recommend it.
I'm interested to try both that and the iWork collaboration stuff that they mentioned during the keynote, which I haven't played around with at all yet either. But, you know, Google Docs has kind of been the standard for that, even though it's fine. It works really... The collaboration parts of it, I find, work pretty well. The rest of Google Docs is kind of a trash fire. Mm-hmm. But
right.
I like the collaboration stuff. So, if Apple can do as good a job in that, then that would be better.
Yeah. But, in fact, I saw some folks, I think Gruber was even talking about it, that... shared notes can be useful when you're creating show notes for podcasts.
Oh, interesting.
So, might want to stick that one in your pipe and smoke it.
Smoke it.
I also use a lot of Vesper. Too soon? Too soon?
Yeah. Open in notes.
Yeah, how does that work?
John and Dan have both received an iMessage note sharing document with me.
Yeah,
except I can't
live on the show. We're sharing notes.
I can't for some reason it wouldn't let me open it in notes.
Yeah, it says you're invited, but you haven't accepted.
Well, it's prompted me. It kicked me to iCloud instead.
Did you take it on your phone or on your Mac?
My Mac. Should I not
try it on your phone? Maybe.
Yeah, I did it on the phone.
Oh. So now you know, folks.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. Oh, but it is working on my Mac, so I blame Dan.
Good idea.
Well, you're running Sierra. I don't have Sierra on this Mac. That might be
it. That's exactly the problem.
That might be it. Might be the problem.
You think that might be it? I don't know.
Why aren't you running Sierra? Are you still worried about podcast editing on a Sierra Mac?
Oh, I'll get around to it. I just haven't. I've been lazy.
Isn't it weird, though? Like, even 5 years ago, you would never wait to install a Sierra update, like a Mac OS 10.
Oh, if they had given me Sierra 5 years ago, I think I would have been all over it.
But I'm just saying, like, right now, it's all about iOS, right? There's an iOS update, like,
maybe
it's 10.0.0.1.
Maybe I'll do it today.
All I'm saying is the Mac is dead.
You should do it right now while we're recording.
I hear it'll, like, download it in the background for me. That won't hurt my bandwidth at all, right?
You just hear, yeah, no.
I really,
that was good.
Really dislike you.
Thanks.
That impression was tremendous.
All right, that's enough.
That's enough of that.
Believe me.